You're traveling through another dimension. There's a dimension of vast and unyielding hopes, a dimension of deep-seated, deeply embedded fears. It's an area we call Handkerchief Dynasty. I am, as always, your secret professor, joined by my good friend and holy of holies, the high priest of Euler's magic. Well, it's been a whirlwind of 24 hours. I feel like there was a little bit of a, not really an emotional roller coaster, but a clear emotional progression to free agency this year. Punctuated initially with Evander Kane himself announcing late last night, after all the children were tucked into their beds, that he had re-signed with the Oilers for 4 years at 5.1 or thereabouts. First off, give me your impression. Like, what went through your mind in that moment? What was that moment like? Relive that for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Like, he's a good hockey player, so...
It seemed like so much of our kind of, like, thinking was around, well, obviously we're not going to get Kane, so therefore we want Giroux, we want this guy, we want this guy. It was kind of preloaded into our thinking that Kane was gone. So I feel like it was kind of surprising, for sure. Like, I thought he was gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people want to be a part of what's going on here, so...
Yeah. It was interesting as well that Kenny gave him and his agent permission to talk to other teams, and then, like, basically immediately they were just like, oh shit, yeah, okay. And signed with the Oilers. I mean, to me it really feels like, you know, a kind of like a version of what the original signing of Kane was, which is, you know, you're taking on a guy who's got some baggage. Some pretty serious baggage, like the kind of baggage that would just, like, entire teams or divisions would just not be interested. And then you have a GM coming in who's a little bit cutthroat, a little bit doesn't care about the baggage, is just like, look, if I can get this asset, this player for less than they would normally be, than less than they would normally command, I'm going to do it. Like, does it kind of feels like the kind of thing Sather would do. Like, don't you think Sather is looking down from on high in New York or wherever, thinking, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Sather did make some similar types of signings over the years.
I feel as though it opens up this question.
Yeah, I don't know. But
because what we have now is we have like a 6-month controversy that is now potentially a 4-year controversy, which is a very different flavor of controversy. Yeah. Like, I know people who said, you know, I can't cheer for this team anymore, that guy's on it. And I respect some of the people saying that, and I totally understand where they're coming from, and like really like empathize, and maybe I'm even jealous of those people in a certain sense. But I feel as though, like, if you were signing on to a place for 4 years, just in any industry, any job, and there had been really disturbing allegations, like, let's say High Priest, you had been accused of being a Holocaust denier, and then the Handkerchief Dynasty podcast signed you to a 4-year contract, you know, wouldn't you think that at some point you would want to do some manner of outreach or something to, if not completely allay people's fears, at least, you know, move somewhat in that direction? Like, do you think that's in the cards or in the offing at all? Do you think there's any going to be any kind of like reconciliation or anything outside of what happens on the ice and in the arena that Kane can do to potentially like ameliorate the situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I would definitely be thinking about that if I was him, because he's clearly an intelligent guy. Obviously, you know, some shit's gone down, and I think people still have a lot of questions and thoughts and feelings about it. So I don't know. If I was in a place for 4 years, I would be full court press on that shit.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, it's such an opportunity, right? To kind of put down roots is the wrong type of phrase, but really use your position there and your time spent in the city to do something good.
Yeah, totally. And I'd be kind of, I honestly, it's probably a little naive on my part, but if someone was doing a super full court press in terms of, like, you know, supporting survivors of domestic violence, etc., it's a little bit hard for me to believe that they're a domestic abuser. That being said, probably would also mean it's the ideal way to cover that shit up. So we're still knee deep in the kind of ethical morass of commodified existence, where, you know, everything comes down to a kind of a you know, picking up a poison chalice of a little bit of good and some bad, and it all just kind of being baked into the cake in some kind of fucked up, unjust, and ultimately weird way. I mean, I think he could have, I think he's going to, the floor for him is like 70, 75 points next year. He could have 100 points next year. He could have 90 points next year. And at 5.1, like, nobody is going to be, you know, over, like, the fact that we're able to roll into next year with Hyman and Kane both still on the wings in our top six, it's huge for us, man. It's a really, really big deal. And I've heard other people say, you know, again, reducing it to just the hockey component, like he's not exactly the kind of player that's easy to come by anymore. You know, that combination, he's like a bit of a, he's like a coelacanth, you know. It's like they found Evander Kane, you know, deep sea diving off the shores of like Madagascar, and they were like, wait, we thought this kind of player was extinct like 5 billion years ago. It's like, we see it in the fossil record, but like this kind of fish slash hockey player still exists. You're telling me you caught a coelacanth? You're telling me you signed Evander Kane for 4 years at $5.1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the academic journals are going to be, there's going to be a lot of ink spilled over this. Yeah. So that was kind of an interesting and weird start to the free agent feeding frenzy. You know, after that, we had someone, you know, and rumors don't always pan out. You know, there's a rumor that Connor Brown was coming to the Oilers. Bob McKenzie reported that earlier in the day, but there was a lot of reporting around one Jack Campbell, who, again, I will go down as saying, you know, has a very Tom Clancy-esque sounding name, which could be good. That could be a good energy for a goalie in a hot Canadian market. One thing that's interesting to me about Jack Campbell, and tell me if you think this is interesting or if I'm just a chauvinist. Age 30 years, January birthday, born Port Huron, Michigan, United States of America. What do you think it's going to be like for the Oilers to have an American goalie? Is that a different vibe?
No, I don't think so, because I think goalies are from like Planet Goalie first and foremost.
Is that like a Planet Hollywood type like restaurant chain?
Yeah.
I definitely go there. Martin Brodeur should be opening that shit up right now. No, I know what you mean. Like, you have to be like, is it like Planet Goalie, where you have to be like, you know, it's obviously a planet filled with people that have great reflexes and whatnot, but also people that are like possibly categorically insane and have made very bizarre life choices and are just riding around on motorcycles without helmets all the time.
Exactly.
Going home to feed their cats. They have that, what is it called? What's the infection that cats give people that makes them compromises their judgment?
I can't remember what it's called, but yeah.
It's called like taxotoxicity or something. Look that shit up. It's so interesting. He's a big cat guy though. That's interesting too, right? Like, doesn't that give you a little more confidence in him as a goaltender? Like the amount of enthusiasm he has for his cats?
Takes his cats for walks.
Huh?
He takes his cats for walks.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's high level cat ownership.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if Quinn Hughes is the guy who, you know, he's old enough now, he looks responsible enough, you're gonna buy him the puppy and you know he's gonna take care of that puppy, then Jack Campbell is the guy who, like, in his 30s, you know, has a respectable job, he dresses well, he smells nice, he fucking loves his two cats like nothing else. It's two cats, right?
Yeah.
And he's just an all-around fantastic guy who just happens to be like all about his cats, and you just love him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a few of those guys around, but they're a rare breed. He's a little bit of that guy.
Yeah, I love cats. I love cats. Love them so much, my cats. He is also really good friends with Zach Hyman, which,
yeah,
I mean, what more do you need as far as I'm concerned? Loves cats. Friends with Zach Hyman.
Like, literally, like, let's say free agency 2023, right? And you read in an article, X free agent that the Oilers could be targeting also happens to be extremely good friends with Zach Hyman. Do you just sign that player, just sight unseen? You know, yes. you don't even look up the hockey DB. You're just like, here we go.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I was a little bit worried. I mean, I know that they were saying where it was a lock to have Campbell, but I really didn't like the other options out there. I didn't want Kemper. I didn't want, you know, if there's other players that got that went around like Georgiev and Murray or whatever, I didn't want any of those guys. I wanted, I thought Campbell was the best option. He was kind of like our chance to erase the Markstrom trauma so we can all stop fucking talking about how we almost had Markstrom. He's even a little bit cheaper than Markstrom. And, you know, I'm watching Jack Campbell highlights. I'm like, yeah, the guy's a goalie. He's like, you know, and the, it's interesting to me now, like the Mikko and post Mikko eras of like Oilers goaltending. Mm-hmm. Like I feel as though Ken Holland did a good job by, like, you know, probably circumventing the rules and saying to Zach Hyman, look, here's $100,000. Go and give this to Jack Campbell and tell him this is what we're willing to sign him for, or whatever it was. Like, it was really nice. And then honestly, another surprise a little later in the day, for me at least, because again, he had permission to talk to other teams as well. And I really think Montreal was probably making a really big push to bring him back, Mr. Brett Kulak. So we even had like a nice tasty, not even a morsel, like a nice tasty, like full serving of protein, vegetables and starch at the end of the day with Kulak, who I think is kind of like, I almost view his that signing as like CC, but even better. It's less money than CC, and he's another guy who, like CC, may not be the biggest name in the game, but it's not outside the realm of possibility that that motherfucker will be playing in your top pair once in a while in spot duty. And it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility that that motherfucker will be playing in your top four. And even if that motherfucker's playing in your bottom pairing, he's still a really solid fucking defenseman, bro. And that's great. That's good news. So we might still make one more signing on the back end. But I'm really, really fucking stoked to have Brent Kulak back. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. I think, he's an important piece of the puzzle. And he, guys like that really make a huge difference in the playoffs as well. You know, like he shouldered a lot of the load when Darnell Nurse was not up to snuff.
Oh, totally. And he has the wherewithal. Like, I feel like that's the one skill people don't talk about for like top NHL defensemen is the wherewithal. Like, it's an incredibly difficult position to play. You got to be making all kinds of decisions all the time. You got to be making all kinds of crazy movements. You know, I almost feel like being like a top four NHL defenseman, it's almost like you're playing a whole different sport somehow. The skill set and like the ability to handle the pressure and to just not want to like die from like going out there and just getting fucking like, you know, having your ankles snapped right off.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, like, if you have to be from planet goalie and totally insane to be an NHL goalie, like, what planet are you from to be like a top four defenseman? Planet money?
Hi, Uranus.
They make money. Yeah, they could be from Uranus. I got to be honest, like, another big piece of news today, frankly, even though it's not the Oilers, it still affects them. Mr. Johnny Gaudreau spurning the Flames by turning down their offer for more money and signing in Columbus. And, you know, you got to feel for Flames fans. Flames fans are people too. It's really, really got to suck hard for them. But isn't it interesting to kind of compare the game of chicken that Ken Holland played with Kane and Kulak? And the one that I feel like he's also playing with Puljujärvi, which we could talk about as well, versus like the Flames just ultimately like how many players have the Flames lost for nothing now? That's like the third, fourth big name that they haven't gotten anything for, and they're just gone now, and it's gotta fucking suck.
It's good for the Oilers, well, though. It's a pretty big burn on Calgary, the Johnny split for Columbus. I don't know what kind of team they're going to be next year, to be honest with you. He's in a very important piece of that puzzle.
Yeah, I don't know. I always feel like the Columbus Blue Jackets are like going through like the phase of the team is in.
I mean Calgary.
Oh, Calgary. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Calgary either. It was pretty funny, though, because like a day ago, we were all worried, like, oh, shit, if Gaudreau walks, is Evander Kane going to sign in Calgary? And we're all sitting there being like, Jesus Christ, that would fucking suck so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But like, nope. Now people are sharing memes of like, this is Johnny Gaudreau's last shift as a Flame. I mean, God, man. To just have like a player explode like that. Like,
yeah,
it's like going to see The Hip and hearing them play Blow It High Dough, and then afterwards, you know, Gord Downie's just like, oh, we're breaking up, we're never going to play another concert again, bye. It's like, what? That song was awesome. Really? Goudreau, no. I don't know. I always just feel like, as well, anyone that signs in Columbus, I just feel like it's just weird. It's just like a weird thing. Like, I feel like every Columbus Blue Jackets free agent signing should be like a segment on Unsolved Mysteries. Johnny Goudreau has had his choice of any team in the National Hockey League. Contenders, young, exciting teams that are, you know, right on the cusp of a major achievement. But for some unknown reason, he signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Good Robert Stack.
I love Robert Stack. Stack is a great name. I was saying on Twitter earlier today that Strome is just a good name.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you agree that Strome is a wonderful name to say?
It's very close to both Strum and Strobe.
It's true. And Low Tide was talking about the ohm element. There could be an ohm kind of component to that. It's interesting to me as well. I did see a couple of kind of backhanded negative comments, but, you know, does today alter the kind of fan calculus on Ken Holland, do you think, at all? Because, I mean, you can't... I think it could be potentially one of the most important free agent years in a long time. I'm trying to think of another free agent year the Oilers have had recently that was this big.
He really got some very important pieces. It's hard to fault him on that.
Like, well, you know, the Sekera was a big deal. Hyman, I feel like, was really nice. But, like, is there any other summer that you can really compare this summer to?
Yeah.
We're not even a full day in.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Really.
I did search, and I feel like you're not a competitive, small-minded person if you didn't search, if you didn't do a Google for 2022 NHL free agency losers and winners, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
The first four sites I went to did not even mention the Oilers in either category. It's like they just didn't exist.
That's weird.
Yeah, the first to mention the Oilers as a winner was USA Today. Shout out to USA Today. Daily Faceoff. And then, that's right, Cheryl Pounder on the TSN panel had them as her big winner of the day. And honestly, I think if they're not in the consideration for one of the big winners on July 1, maybe give your head a shake. Still a few big fish to fall. Kadri, it'll be interesting to see where Kadri ends up.
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, he could have signed somewhere. Yeah. It is interesting, though. Like, even when the Oilers have a big day today, do you feel as though there's still this kind of, like, psychic hollow where, like, certain elements just will never acknowledge?
Maybe, but that's very, like, Oilers specific, right? Like, the Oilers are a psychic hollow.
Interesting. What do you mean by that?
I mean, that's just sort of, like, where they reside. There's certain things that will just be like perennially lacking with them. Even if they're not lacking, they'll be perceived to be lacking. So, I don't know. I mean, the tides will turn on everyone quick, right? Just like they always do. Like, fans will be all over Jack Campbell and Skinner, just like they were all over Mikko and Mike Smith. So, this is it's a good time. Those are good signings. He did very well.
Honestly, like, it's really perked me up. I think it was a good day. And even just the fact that we're able to hold on to, you know, two guys that, you know, there was no reason to expect that they were 100% coming back. But, like, both those guys were valuable pieces in a team that went three rounds. I think they're both legitimately extremely strong bets to perform well over the duration of the contract, although the way Kane's contract is even structured, it's pretty, like, easy to buy him out at the end, which is the way a lot of these multi-year contracts work now. People don't realize that, but, like, a lot of teams, you sign a guy for 3, 4, 5 years, you're just calculating in the buyout in the end, You're just factoring right. that into the equation. It's like breakage. Right, right. People are like, oh my God, they gave him 4 years. How could you give him the extra year? And like every fucking time, you know, every fucking time people are just, I can't believe you gave him the extra 12 months. It's like, dude, they're just going to fucking buy him out if they need to after that. Okay. Right. It's okay. Any other, anything else that piqued your interest or sparked your curiosity or, ignited any kind of sexual inspiration in you?
No, not particularly. Like, I'm not a big off-season guy. Like, once the season ends, I just kind of like check out for like 60 days.
Go to the cabin. It's been an abbreviated off-season, hasn't it? Hasn't it just been like boom, 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 boom? I mean, that's what happens when you go three rounds. But like,
yes, that's what happens. It's unfamiliar.
It's nice because instinctually just know like holy shit, like that just means like the season is closer and closer. I know what you mean about checking out though. At a certain point you're like, it's like people who get super excited about the off season are like the people that get too excited for like the first half of a final season of like a show that was maybe marginal in the first place.
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay, well let's see what happens. How many goals do you think Kane's gonna score next year, bro? I'll ask you that.
Maybe 30 goals.
Oh, he'll score 30. There's no way he doesn't score 30.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm gonna say 30 goals.
Yeah. And I actually think that I did want to mention about Puljujärvi. I feel as though really Collin is kind of playing, and I think this is one of the things that has made him somewhat of an effective GM over his time here for the most part. Like he can play hardball, but he doesn't play too hardball. Like he plays the right amount of hardball. Whereas I feel like other GMs, like maybe like if you're a rookie GM, it's the first time you're a GM and you're haggling with a player over like $100,000. Maybe you just get like too fucking emotionally like pissed off and you're like, fuck it. Like I'm not giving the extra 100,000. Fuck you. I don't think Ken Holland is that guy.
No, I don't think
so. And I think other GMs at times, even it might be an old veteran GM who's maybe a little too over emotional. I'd be like, oh, you want a trade? Fine. Fuck you. I'm just going to get rid of you. Cause fuck you for asking for a trade. Ken Holland's not that guy either. He's like, well, you know, I want to get a fair value for the player. I'm not just going to trade you just to trade you. You know, I want to do something that helps the team. So, Jesse, you might have to play for us one more year. Like I feel like things might be trending towards Jesse playing one more year on the team. Although a lot of people are saying it's a done deal. He's already gone. Guarantee it. Book it. Ship it. Sign, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. But that's kind of the last piece that I feel like. I mean, obviously, McLeod Yam's getting re-signed. We're just going to assume that. God forbid we lose either of those guys. Jesus Christ. But I feel as though if JP comes back and suits up for the Oilers next year, there's really almost nothing people could criticize Kenny Holland for in this offseason, ultimately.
He's
made mistakes. He's an NHL GM. People think NHL GMs don't make mistakes, that they don't sign Kyle Turris or... You know, there's at least three or four other names you could bandy about to be like, but right now he's looking like an experienced NHL GM who's getting the job done a little bit, and hopefully he can continue to, because like the prospect of the 2022-2023 Oilers being as good or better than last year's team is really fucking exciting right now.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Like, because most of the time you're just worried, okay, well, hopefully we don't get worse. Hopefully other teams around us don't get better. Like, what teams in our division got better by that much? You know, yeah, that's another thing.
Really.
Like, if Calgary doesn't, like, pull a rabbit out of the hat, like, what's going to happen? You know, like, that's huge. Like, that's one of our biggest rivals.
Yeah.
Although we're only playing them three times next year. Can you believe that shit?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Quel strange. Okay, brother, how is the summer off season treating you? Just before I let you go, just let me know anything interesting you're doing to alleviate your non-summer doldrums as you prance about in the sunshine.
No, not particularly. It's been a pretty quiet summer so far, just kind of Yeah, I don't know. Just not a lot going on. Kind of the way I like it, I suppose.
Totally. You know, it's a good thing to do when it's late July or mid-July and you don't got a lot going on. Listen to some Tom Petty.
Oh, that's a
Throw
good
on some
idea.
Tom Petty. Perfect for this time of year.
It's a good idea.
Perfect. All right, well, we can leave it there, brother. To all the fans out there, thank you so much for listening. We love you. We admire you. We think you dress well. I can't really think of any other things I can say about our fan base, but they're a special bunch, and we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you posting. We appreciate you retweeting again, retweeting your own tweet, posting a link to your tweet on Truth Social, all those things. We love that shit. All right, brother. Well, we'll hook it up again real soon. Say hello to Zuzu for me and
Oh,
give her
wow.
all my best. And just enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, man.